Hello and welcome to Life with Purpose Radio. Rod Hampton with a week's worth of inspirational stories of people sharing Christ around the world. Juliana Smoke gets the ball rolling with our preview.
Thanks, Rod. Today we're going to learn about Georgia's newest Arabic church.
I'm John Graham, and Pastor Don Piper had a tragic car accident and died for 90 minutes. He'll tell us all about it on today's Culture Connection.
Hello, I'm Ron Lawson, and this half hour we'll hear from a missionary who works with the next generation of church leaders, showing them the importance of being on mission.
I'm Myrna Brown. Her career started in the classroom. It's evolved into a growing ministry. Ellie Holcomb was the Dove Award New Artist of the Year.
Also today, Chaplain Doug Carver from the North American Mission Board on our Missionary Moment. All today on Life with Purpose Radio. The state of Georgia has a large concentration of Arab Americans. An Arabic Baptist church in Suwanee, Georgia, has been planted to help reach immigrant families in their community. Let's get more from Life with Purpose Radio's Juliana Smoke.
Georgia has the nation's 14th largest Arab American population, and Mokels Beckett is planting a new church to reach Arab-speaking people. Mokels Beckett is a pastor of Arabic Baptist Church of Suwanee, Georgia, and he joins us today on Life with Purpose Radio. Welcome.
Hello, Juliana. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you. Now, Arabic Baptist Church started less than a year ago. Tell us how the Lord led you to church planting.
I used to live in California. I moved to Georgia like 3 years ago. When I moved here, I see there's a lot of people who speak Arabic here. There is a need for Arabic church to be, you know, established and planted here in Georgia, because there's only two churches here and over 100,000 people speak Arabic in Atlanta.
Wow.
So when I moved here, you know, I just feel that God led me to do something. Then I start at my house, so just do like a fellowship, prayer meeting, and worship, and Bible study. Then I met with Brother Aslam Masih. He's from North American Mission Board, and then he talked with me about plan and establish actual the church in church place.
So there's only two Arab-speaking churches for the population
Correct.
Of Georgia. That's hard to believe.
Yes, the best thing, there's over 100 mosques here in Atlanta, Georgia.
Wow.
And there's too many Muslim people here we try to reach. We're not enough. I mean, we need everyone to put their heart with us so we can reach these people.
Mm-hmm. And tell us about the people who you are serving.
We have some people from Egypt, some people from Syria, Jordan, Iraq, Morocco. So we have different nationalities. We all speak Arabic, different accent, but they all understand Arabic. So most of them are Christian. Some Muslim people, they come to attend, and so we try to, you know, work with them and pray for them so we can lead them to Christ. So we have a different, you know, variety of people.
Tell us about the Muslim people. Do you find that they're hungry to hear about the Lord?
You know, here we have the freedom to talk with them more with no fear. You know, back home, you cannot speak with the Muslim people like in the street or anything or in any place because they might put you in jail for that. So here we have all the freedom, usually talk with them. And there's some of them really hungry to listen and hear about Jesus. We met with people, they're, you know, willing to hear and willing to change their life.
And First Baptist Church of Cumming have partnered with you to plant this church.
Right. They always support us. They are the primary standing church. They really, really help us very much. So We really thank the Lord for them and what they do for us.
And how do you see this partnership helping to teach about reaching cross-culturally and connecting?
Thank you so much for this question, because, you know, most American churches here, they don't know the mentality of the different cultures, if I can say that. Most people, they don't know what other people in different cultures think and how we can reach them. So I think it's a great opportunity. I mean, I invite every church, like if they want to partner with us, so we can share how we can reach these people together. And we have the same culture. We know how to reach them. We welcome anyone to partner with us so we can reach more people.
Mm-hmm.
We all serve one Lord. We're different nationality, a different culture. So if we be united, one team, I do my part and some other people do their part. In that way, we help each other to reach more people in all nationalities.
That's right. That's right. I know starting a new church is not an easy task. How can we pray for you and the church?
We face different challenges. We just started. We try our best to reach out for one area. We need your prayers so we can reach more people. Also, we need some support for everything so we can grow, because we're really not looking for numbers to grow, but we're looking for hearts to be changed and to know Jesus Christ.
We've been speaking with Mokels Beckett, pastor of Arabic Baptist Church. Mokels, we will definitely be praying for you and your church.
Thank you so much, Juliana.
For Life with Purpose Radio, I'm Juliana Smoke.
Life with Purpose Radio. The Coffee Shop That Changed the Church, Discovering the Net Effect, by bestselling author Dr. Steve Parr. Entertaining, real, heartwarming, humorous, educational. Solid instruction through the medium of the novel, with gripping interest and power, fun, tender, heart-pumping, and angering at times. A realistic look at 21st century churches offering workable solutions. From Deep River Publishing, online, and everywhere Christian books are sold.
Thanks for listening to Life with Purpose Radio. Now, John Graham has the story of Pastor Don Piper as he talks about his book and the new movie, 90 Minutes in Heaven, on today's Culture Connection.
It's not every day you get to hear from someone who has literally been to heaven and back, but for the past 25 years, pastor and author Don Piper has been circling the globe telling of his 90 Minutes in Heaven. A new film is set to be released on September 11th that tells the tale. Don, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you very much for having me. It's delightful to be here. It's delightful to be anywhere.
Absolutely. You have an unbelievable but powerful story to tell. Can you kind of encapsulate it in the few minutes we have together?
Sure. I wouldn't believe it if I hadn't experienced it. I was run over by an 18-wheeler on the way to church, leaving a pastor's conference on my way to do a Wednesday night Bible study at my church in the south of Houston. And I just pulled out of the conference center about 130 miles away. I was driving across a narrow bridge, and an 18-wheeler across the center stripe and hit me head-on. I was killed instantly, waiting for the coroner. The moment the truck struck me, I was standing at the gates of heaven, 12 of them, of course. I was just one of them, and surrounded by people I had known and loved in life who had preceded me in death. And massive gates, thick walls, made of pearl, angels everywhere. There was a street of gold, literally, but so pure you could see through it. And incredible music, beyond anything I've ever heard in my life. Thousands of songs at the same time without chaos. So it's simply the most real thing that ever happened to me. While I'm having this incredible experience of being welcomed into heaven, back on Earth, traffic is backed up on this bridge, both directions. One of the people behind me is another pastor from that same conference. He hears God speak to him and say, pray for them, pray for me, even though I've been pronounced dead by four paramedics. This goes on for an hour and a half. He's singing What a Friend We Have with Jesus, and suddenly, without any warning, I start singing it with him. And that begins an odyssey of 13 months in a hospital bed.
Well, it's just absolutely jaw-dropping to hear this story. And you took your story, you put it to print.
Yeah, the book has sold 7 million copies in 46 languages. And now they made it into a movie.
In telling this story, as much as you have been and are certainly going to continue to, I'm sure it has surfaced some people with perhaps similar stories or some sort of resonance with yours. Do you have any stories about that?
There are lots of people who just never talked about it and never planned to, various reasons. I never planned to talk about this, but I do understand that there is a heaven and there is a hell, and we're going to be in one or the other of those places. Mm. It's only Jesus, only Christ, that prepares us for heaven. And he said, I prepare a place for you. So we've got to be prepared for the place.
Yeah, wow. Now, how do you respond to the cynics? I'm sure you've come across a couple of those as well.
Oh, sure, yeah. I respond this way. I wouldn't believe this if it hadn't happened to me. I was a conservative Southern Baptist preacher on his way to church when I was hit head-on by an 18-wheeler, and this experience happened to me. It's simply the most real thing that ever happened to me, so I understand the cynicism. I would say this. God's still in the miracle business today.
Yeah,
I think he's doing some of his best stuff today. And so we shouldn't be surprised by this. I don't feel very miraculous, but it's certainly a miracle I'm here.
I'm sure it's just going to do nothing but ramp up your ability to tell folks
oh, Lord.
As this film comes out. How do you feel about Darth Vader playing you?
Well, you know what? You know what? My kids have started calling me Darth Preacher.
That's great.
I don't know what that means, you know, but, well, Hayden is a great, he's an exceptional young man, and he really wanted to do this movie. I think that was the most stunning thing about it. All the people who were in the movie, whether it's Fred Thompson or Dwight Yoakam or Michael W. Smith, Kate Bosworth, of course, they wanted to be in this movie because they loved the story and they loved the impact that it had.
Well, we're excited for you as your story continues to spread, and the truth that's already been in Scripture for eons gets represented in a very tangible way. And so thank you so much for spending a few minutes with us today, Don.
It is my great honor. And our reason for being here is to help everyone else get there.
Well, and we will certainly do our part to help folks get to the theater to get that message. So thank you so
thank you so much,
Don. All right. It's Don Piper. The movie is 90 Minutes in Heaven. It releases on September 11th of this year. And until next time, I'm John Graham, bringing you The Culture Connection.
Every week on Life with Purpose Radio, we bring you stories of people living their lives with purpose and caring Christians around the world. Our hope is that you'll be encouraged to live your life with purpose as you hear our stories. Please let us hear from you about that and other comments or questions about the program or your story suggestions that you might have for us. Our email is stories@lifewithpurposeradio.com. Again, that's stories@lifewithpurposeradio.com. And you can join our community online, facebook.com/LWP Radio, or you can follow us on Twitter @LWP Radio. And by the way, our free book offer awaits just for you. You'll find it at lifewithpurposeradio.com/freebook. It's the hardback devotional called Words of Life from Dr. J. Robert White, Executive Director of the Georgia Baptist Convention. And once again, it is free. Just go to lifewithpurposeradio.com/freebook and we'll get it on the way to you. Just our way of saying thanks for being a listener to the program. Well, back to our stories now. Here's Myrna Brown.
Thanks, Rod. Her career started in the classroom. It's evolved into a growing ministry. Ellie Holcomb was the Dove Award New Artist of the Year, and she joins us next.
Also ahead, the Ministry of Chaplains from Doug Carver, Director of Chaplain Services of the North American Mission Board. It's coming up on our Missionary Moment. Right now, let's go to Ron Lawson. He's in the Life with Purpose Radio studio for the story of My Summer Vacation.
What will the church look like in 20 or 30 years? It will probably look different than the church of today, and the leaders will be the young men and women currently in our colleges and universities. Dr. J. Robert White, Executive Director for the Georgia Baptist Convention, talks with a missionary who works with college students and shows them the importance of being on mission. Let's listen.
I'm so glad to be on the phone today with Clarissa Morrison. Clarissa is one of our Georgia Baptist State missionaries and works in the area of collegiate ministry. Clarissa has worked with college students for many years now, and we're very blessed to have her leadership and expertise. Clarissa, thank you so much for being with us on Life with Purpose Radio.
Well, thanks for having me.
The next generation of church leaders, really, Clarissa, is a powerful force in our community and our culture today. These college and university students are making a difference and will make a difference for this coming generation. Please give our listeners a little information about how you sense God leading you into this ministry of working with college and university students, and what vision has God given you for this work?
I do love college students and the ministry that I'm in, and I can trace my spiritual journey of ministry back to my college days. I was involved in what was then the Baptist Student Union, got involved and did summer missions, was involved in leadership, working with international students, and I really looked at it as this is what I'm doing in college, but it turned into something a little bit more, and I fell in love with college ministry and the life that college students live and the decisions that they made, and I really, I guess, never left college after that and just continued walking life with college students through the years. My journey began as a student and as a student summer missionary.
Well, I know that you lead in connecting college students with missions and ministries really all over the world. How do college students get involved in missions?
Well, with our summer missions program, we call it Send Me Now, students who are connected with both the local church and the local BCMs on their campus are connected to missions from the moment that they step on campus. I will tell you, I had a conversation with one student as a freshman the first time I met him. He said, "How can I get involved in missions?" And that was just an amazing conversation because I watched him get involved in not just local missions, but summer missions. And he participated in Christmas in China. And he's a nurse now. He graduated several years ago, but he and his wife are still involved in missions and ministry even as we speak. But they do. Students get connected. They cannot walk inside our BCMs and not learn about opportunities to serve and ways to connect with the local church, but also through summer missions. This summer, we sent 156 students all over Georgia and the U.S. and across the world. And all of these students are active in either college ministries in their local church or the Baptist Collegiate Ministry on their campus. Beyond that, there are students of great number that are serving even outside of our particular missions program. But I really do think that students who get connected with Baptist Collegiate Ministry and get connected with local churches, it's hard not to see and learn about opportunities to serve. And the great thing is our students jump at these chances.
Yeah, that's incredible, and it's wonderful to watch them do that. I'm aware that many of our college students begin in these years in college to feel God's call on their lives to missions throughout all of these experiences. Would you project a number of how many of our students that they see becoming involved in missions, either locally or globally?
I would say it's probably 50 to 75%. May not go into full-time Christian vocational service, but in some way are definitely connected to missions, or whether it's short-term or local ministry in their local church. They get so involved in collegiate ministry and they get so connected to their local church that when they graduate and they move on, they don't know any other way of serving but to get involved. But you asked about being called into full-time ministry. I just had a conversation with one of our summer missionaries just a few days ago. He's a student at the University of Georgia, finishing up his last year of college. He's an education major. After returning from his summer missions experience in South Brazil this summer, really just has felt the call that God is calling him into full-time ministry. He's not sure exactly what that looks like yet, but he has definitely said, okay, my life experiences as a student and as a student summer missionary has helped me to learn and to hear God's call on my life.
That's so exciting. And so many of our Southern Baptist career missionaries come through Baptist Collegiate Ministries and find their commitment to missions in those experiences. I know that a lot of our listeners who desire to understand the next generation better and want to engage them in the life of the church would be blessed if you could just share a word of how they might encourage college-age young people to be engaged in the life of the church and communication of the gospel. Do you have any ideas that you could share with our church folks about how to engage college students in ministry?
One thing that I would say is college students are strange. It's a good strange, but when they come into your church, it's very easy to think, I'm not connected with them. I don't have any idea what they're thinking about, what they're doing. But the reality is they're not as strange as they may seem, and they have such a desire to connect with people. One of the conversations I've been having over and over again with students over the past couple of years is just the excitement over connecting with different generations. You don't have to connect them with people that are just like them. It's okay if grandparents want to connect with college students. It's okay if married with children people want to connect with college students, because college students really are just trying to learn about life.
Yeah.
They're trying to learn about what the future holds, what's coming. And so they're not always looking for people who look just like them or act just like them or the same age as them to connect with. And so don't be afraid of those strange college students that walk through the door of your church. They really are about as normal as you can expect.
That's good. That's excellent. That's a great word of encouragement. I've been speaking today with Clarissa Morrison, one of our excellent collegiate ministry team members who loves college students and helps them to get connected in special ways in missions and ministry involvement. And we want you to know, Clarissa, that we'll be praying for you and for this next generation of church leaders. And thank you so much for being with us on Life with Purpose Radio.
Well, thank you. And thank you for loving college students, too.
I do indeed.
For more information on the work of collegiate ministry, go to our website, lifewithpurposeradio.com. For Life with Purpose Radio, I'm Ron Lawson.
Now on Life with Purpose Radio, Myrna Brown is here with Christian artist Ellie Holcomb to talk about her ministry and her latest CD, As Sure as the Sun.
I know that I don't bring a lot to the table, just little. There's days I wonder if you'll still be faithful. Hold me together when I fall apart. Would you remind me now of who you are? Your life will never change if there's healing in your name. That you can take broken things and make them beautiful. It took my shame.
Become one of my favorite songs, and it's not just because I like the music, although I can't stop humming it after the song is over. Joining me on Life with Purpose Radio is Ellie Holcomb. Hi, Ellie.
Hello. Great to be with you today.
Love having you on the show, and I really do love the song, The Broken Beautiful. And he can do it. Can he?
He really can. I've seen him do it time and time again.
And it's just an excellent reminder of who God is. You are a Dove Award-winning singer-songwriter. In fact, in 2014, you were named New Artist of the Year. Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you. I kind of still can't believe that happened.
But you started in the classroom. What a transition. You know, a teacher. And now you're an award-winning, a Dove award-winning singer-songwriter.
It's a strange deal. You know, I swore that I would never marry a musician. I also swore that I would never marry my best friend, who happened to be a guy. And I ended up getting married to him. And then he convinced me to quit my teaching job and join his band about 8 years ago.
Mm-hmm. And I was going to say, you two serve together. Make beautiful music together.
It has been quite an amazing ride. We're very thankful.
We can't hear her now, but I'm expecting to hear her pipe in any moment now. Emmy Lou.
Emmy Lou, that's right.
Your 2 year old.
She is our little girl. We're so thankful for her. She actually calls herself Emu because she can't quite say Emmy Lou yet.
She was supposed to be napping, but that kind of went out the window.
It's beautiful. Oh, you.
Project is As Sure as the Sun, and you wrote a lot of those songs on that album when you were pregnant with Emmy Lou.
My husband really was encouraging me. His band is in the Americana AAA world, and I was always writing for his band, and I kept accidentally writing songs about Jesus to work out my faith. And he really encouraged me right before I got pregnant with our little girl. He said, hey, you just need to write what's coming out of you. And for some reason, when he said that, it was like it lit a fire under me. I was just spending a lot of time memorizing God's word. So I'd sit in God's word and let music come out. Mm-hmm. And by the end of 9 months of carrying my little girl, I had a new baby to hold and 45 new songs to sing.
Wow. I want to go back to something you just said. You said, I love sitting in God's word and letting music come out. I love that statement. That is one way to learn scripture and to absorb the richness of God's word through song. And you found a way to do it.
It's one of my favorite things I've ever done, to get to spend time doing that. You think back to when you're little in Sunday school and you sing all these big truths about who God is. You know, my God is so big, so strong, and so mighty. There's nothing my God cannot do. And I love the way that song helps us carry around truth. So it's such a joy to get to combine two things that I love so much together.
I understand that when you were a teenager, you went on a few mission trips. And as I thought about that, and I said, now you have Emmy Lou. Is that an experience, a mission trip? Is that an experience you'd like her to have one day?
Absolutely. A lot of times when we go on those trips, for me, especially when I was younger, I just thought, okay, I'm really just going to go serve the Lord. I want to love people and I want to live my life for Him. And you definitely get the opportunity to do that and to serve. But I think more than anything, it's a service to you to get to see other people around the world who love Jesus and who know Him, and to know that His story is so much bigger than your little life. He cares deeply about each one of us, right? Like He knows the number of hairs that are on our head. But it's also, He's this big God, and there are people following Him, and who need to know about His love and His hope all over the world. So my hope is that Emmylou, from a really young age, would know that the world is bigger than just about her little world, and that we get to be a part of a bigger story, you know, and linking arms with God in this kingdom that's coming. A wholehearted yes to that question.
And you know what? I think there's only one thing that could be better is if you got to go with her. I had that experience with my kids. It is truly a blessing to be able to serve with your child or with your children.
Oh, I can't imagine. That sounds incredible.
Ellie Holcomb, the new project is As Sure as the Sun. Thanks so much for joining us on Life with Purpose Radio.
Absolutely. Such a joy to talk with you today, Myrna.
And for Life with Purpose Radio, I'm Myrna Brown.
Today's Missionary Moment highlights chaplaincy here on Life with Purpose Radio.
As I begin as a chaplain in 1985, we had a plane crash. Our soldiers had been on a deployment for 6 months and were returning from the Sinai. And on December the 12th, 1985, as they were taking off from Gander, Newfoundland, we were assembling at Fort Campbell to receive them, and the plane crashed, and 248 soldiers were killed all at once. I still remember going into a gymnasium to stand beside my commander, who had to make the announcement to families waiting to welcome their loved ones home that that was our plane. There were no survivors. You have our prayers. And then he walks away, and then the chaplains are left to minister to a room full of about 700 or 800 soldiers, spouses, parents, children that were waiting to see their loved ones, and they weren't coming home. Our chaplains did what you do. You go in, you ask, Lord, where do I need to go? And you just begin going to people in those types of critical moments. That's one that kind of shaped my ministry very early in my career. They're not planned on the calendar, but you've walked with these people. And when you walk with them, they will reach out to you in their time of need, even if they're irreligious, seeking the supernatural presence of a holy being, as we know our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, to make sense out of this particular situation or bring hope, comfort, normalcy, and peace.
For more information about North American and international missionaries, head to lifewithpurposeradio.com and follow the links under today's program date.